And welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, the show that connects you with topics and issues and people that are important to you. Big topics today. Very important person is here. Cody Wigner is a district wildlife manager with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Cody, it's great to see you. You and I have actually spoken several times, but this is our first time, isn't it, actually meeting in person?
That's right.
I'm so glad you were able to come in today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And because there's a lot going on with Colorado Parks and Wildlife and so much to talk about. Do you like the stack of paper I have?
Yes, absolutely.
And I gave you a stack too.
Yeah, it's all good things too.
First, Cody, I wanted to kind of talk about... I know there have been kind of some warnings. I don't know if it's been put out by Colorado Parks and Wildlife, but, you know, people like, okay, there's been wildfires, wildlife is on the move, be aware, and just kind of keep a lookout for them, right?
Yeah. You know, so these wildfires, especially the spring fire down there, over 100,000 acres, that's
right.
a lot of area burned.
Right.
A lot of lost habitat currently for those wildlife species. So that is going to push them out briefly.
Okay.
But usually within a few weeks, those wildlife are going to move back in that area.
Okay.
And the forests do a pretty good job at regenerating a lot of food sources
like the,
and
the
grasses.
ground level stuff.
Yeah, the ground cover comes back pretty quick.
Okay. So in the meantime, though, so maybe for the next few weeks, people can probably expect to increase if they're in those burn areas.
Yeah, in those areas, you might see a little bit more just more frequent sightings of wildlife on the outskirts of that. Just because as they were displaced for a brief time.
Okay. But then, like you said, they'll probably start moving back in once the growth starts happening.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I know people get very concerned about that.
Yeah.
Hey, look, there's a bunch of deer standing right there in the middle of the road. That's always a little scary. Or a mountain lion or whichever. Okay. I did want to jump to another hot topic. And this one, it's a very big... it is a concern. And you were telling me, and we're going to touch on this, but there is a big poaching incident in Breckenridge, and I know this is not your area, but it's a very hot topic right now. Two mountain
goats
were shot. That's horrible.
Yeah.
And so that is poaching.
Absolutely. That is not hunting. That is poaching. We don't want them associated in any way with hunters.
Right. So that means that Colorado Parks and Wildlife will search out for them?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. It's a very active, open investigation. Talking to one of our Operation Game Thief operators, dispatchers, they said that they've been flooded with calls. And, you know, that's how we solve a lot of our cases is through the public. You know, we can't be everywhere at every time. So we rely heavily on tips from the public on what they've seen. And I'm hoping they have a few good successful leads because, yeah, this is a pretty bad crime for sure.
Now, there is an open hunting season on mountain goats, right? But this is not the time.
Correct. Yes, you can legally hunt mountain goats. And it's some people wait, you know, over 15 years to get a mountain goat tag.
Okay.
So it's a very hard tag to get. So for someone just to steal this resource from not only the hunters, but the public, the state of Colorado, it's very serious.
And it is a felony.
It is a felony. So just shooting and leaving something and not utilizing anything. That animal, both of those animals went to complete waste.
Right.
You know, the meat wasn't salvaged. The hides weren't salvaged. Nothing. That animal was completely wasted. 100% just unutilized, which is horrible.
And with a felony charge for poaching in the state of Colorado, does that come with, what are some of the consequences? Is there fines? Is there jail time?
So with mountain goats, there is each mountain goat that's illegally taken, there is a surcharge of $10,000.
Wow.
So this crime in itself, you're looking at a minimum of $20,000 right there.
For just the fines?
For just the fine. And it's going to be over $20,000.
That's incredible.
Yes. And then Colorado Parks and Wildlife has a suspension process as well. So if these people or person that did this are hunters or anglers or not, they can lose their hunting or fishing privileges from 1 year to lifetime.
Wow.
And that's not just in Colorado. That could be 49 other states. Every state except Hawaii right now is part of the Wildlife Violators Compact.
Okay.
So meaning if you're suspended in one of those states, You're suspended in all of those states in one way, shape, or form.
Because that's how seriously poaching is taken.
Absolutely.
Is taken.
Yes.
Now, Operation Game Thief, right? That's what it is called. Yep. Is that kind of a division within Colorado Parks and Wildlife that, like you said, TIBS come into that?
Yeah. So it's a separate organization that, you know, people can make donations to, things like that. But it's set up. A lot of states have them.
Okay.
And it is kind of a hotline, kind of like a Crime Stoppers hotline.
Okay.
On the wildlife side, where people can call to report when they see violations, or if they have information on active crimes or cases, things like that.
And this one again happened over the weekend, right on the Quandary Trail in Breckenridge.
Yeah, it was near the summit. It looks like it was on July 3rd, and it was very deliberate. I mean, it was two young billies, which are males.
Yeah.
Shot at very close range with what looks like is probably a pistol.
That's not good.
No, it's horrible.
So again, if anybody does have tips, and I know that Colorado Parks and Wildlife, I believe, put up at $1,000 reward, and then because of donations like you were talking about to Operation Game Thief, that has quickly gone up to $5,000 reward for information on that incident. And that, again, they just call Operation Game Thief if they have tips?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have that number directly on hand.
That's fine. But we'll look it up during the break. How's
yep,
that?
Perfect.
Operation Game Thief. We'll Google it and we'll find out. And also, this is very cool. We're kind of jumping topics again because we do have so much to talk with Cody about today. Iron Rangers that are coming to, they're called Iron Rangers, and this is coming to Lake Pueblo. This is very exciting, I'm sure, for people. The Iron Rangers, it's a very
yeah,
interesting name.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really going to be a huge help to the public as far as ease of access into these state parks. And also going to cut down on some staffing time for Parks and Wildlife staff as well. It's kind of nice because I don't know how many times I've been to a state park too, where you have to either go to the visitor center if it's closed, and you have to go to one of the pay stations,
right,
and it's cash only. So this is awesome because, you know, we're calling them Iron Rangers because it's just a big metal box. It's a kiosk.
Right.
Where you can actually use a credit card or cash to make those transactions for camping sites or daily parks passes.
Or even annual passes,
annual
I think.
Annual passes,
wow,
yeah.
So, I mean, that's incredible.
It really is awesome, just for the ease of use.
And it sounds like, and I was just kind of looking over stuff, Lake Pueblo, it sounds like that might be the first area for those types of kiosks. Kiosks, I know how to talk, Cody. Kiosks. So that's exciting. That's coming to Lake Pueblo, those Iron Rangers, and I'm sure we'll see them hopefully in other places too.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk about with Cody some park news. And like Cody was telling me, Mueller State Park was not affected by the High Chateau Fire. We'll talk about that. What's happening at Cheyenne Mountain State Park. Also coming up, we're going to talk with Cody about all his efforts to help cut down on human-bear conflicts in our neighborhoods. So that's all coming up on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we are talking with Cody Wigner, who is a district wildlife manager from Colorado Parks and Wildlife. And we told him, Cody, we'd get the number for Operation Game Thief during the break, which we did. 1-877-COLO-OGT. 877-COLO-OGT, which is 265-6648. Or you can go to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife website.
Yep.
And again, that's referencing the poaching incident in Breckenridge. So, of course, parks news, lots of parks news happening in our area. And Mueller State Park, I know, and Cody, you were telling me, like, it's not closed. It was, which is great news.
Correct.
It was not affected by the High Chateau Fire.
Yeah, so the High Chateau Fire did not burn anything in Mueller State Park. So all those trails are still open,
that's
all
great.
The campgrounds, everything. Definitely still as beautiful as ever up there to get out and enjoy it.
Still taking reservations.
Absolutely.
And I was going to go drive into Mueller State Park, but there was actually a line getting in.
Yeah, and they have some really cool cabins up there you can actually rent too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pretty popular over the winter months. I mean, perfect spot for a family to go up there and for a holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
You know, I didn't know that there were
yep,
actual cabins that you could rent.
Yeah.
So you just go to the Mueller State Park website and
yep,
reserve them.
Yes.
I'm sure during the summer they are full up.
They are quite busy. I think they might be a little bit cheaper in the winter, kind of
I
the
bet,
off-season stuff. But
yeah,
it's still nice up there then, too.
Well, and we are so lucky to have all these state parks in, you know, that we can take advantage of and enjoy.
Yep.
And one of those is the Cheyenne Mountain State Park. And there's a new trail that's opening, and it's called the Dixon Trail. It does not sound easy, though.
No, yeah. So from what I've heard, that Dixon Trail is going to be pretty difficult. Looks like it's an elevation gain of about 3,000 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's basically starting at the base of Cheyenne Mountain in the state park, and it goes up to the top of Cheyenne Mountain, which is a pretty popular, iconic mountain here in Colorado Springs for sure. So it's going to be an awesome trail.
And do we know exactly when that trail, the Dixon Trail, is opening up?
Not for sure. I know RIMFI, it's the Rocky Mountain Field Institute, is finishing that last leg. I think it's about a quarter mile stretch.
Yeah.
And it should be about four work days. And from what I've been hearing, it looks like it's going to be kind of late August for a soft opening.
Wow.
Hopefully.
So you said it was the elevate. That's a lot.
Yeah.
This is not a trail for amateur hikers.
Absolutely not. And I mean, one thing to note too is currently it's going to be only open for foot traffic, so pedestrian traffic only.
Okay.
And they're exploring options, kind of a back door route for mountain bikers. It sounds like the trail is going to be a little bit too dangerous and difficult for mountain bikes currently.
Okay.
So they're exploring other options and avenues, a kind of an alternative route for mountain bikers to be able to get up to the top of Cheyenne Mountain too.
So it sounds like, have you been up the trail yet?
I haven't yet, no.
To see the terrain. I'm wondering if it's like kind of rocky and, you know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a well-maintained trail for sure, you know, and very sustainable.
And this has been planned for quite a while, hasn't it,
the Dixon Trail? Yeah, it's been years in the making, and we had to get an easement through some private property to get that trail, and I think that was kind of the biggest holdup, but we got all that stuff worked out. And it's going to be a go very soon. I know some people got up there a little early. The rangers down there at the park are pretty savvy in their law enforcement skills, and they've been catching quite a few people on that trail that aren't
already trying to go up the trail.
Yep. So stay off of it until it is open.
And I wonder, I'm sure you guys in putting together this trail and getting it open and going through everything, I wonder how long it's going to take from Cheyenne Mountain State Park to get all the way up.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder how long it's going to time out for.
Yeah, it probably depends on how good a shape people are in or how long they stop and look at the good views.
And I think it's incredible that Cheyenne Mountain, they're letting the trail go up there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that had to be some negotiating going on for that, too.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. Like I said, the big thing was an easement for sure because it does go through some private property.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Cheyenne Mountain State Park, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, does own or lease a lot of that land up on the mountain, too.
So maybe by the end of August, you think that Dixon Trail is going to
open up? Fingers crossed, yes. You know, late August.
Well, I can tell you right now, Cody, I will not be attempting the trail. You know, it sounds pretty difficult, though. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take our news break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk with Cody about all the work that he is doing and Colorado Parks and Wildlife is doing to help keep our neighborhood safe and cut down on human and bear conflicts. Lots to talk about with that. That's coming up next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with District Wildlife Manager Cody Wigner with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. And Cody is very heavily involved with trying to keep people and bears both safe.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's a very important thing that we know there are a lot of bear-human conflicts in our area. I mean, we live right up against the mountains. It's going to happen. And we did a couple months ago, Corey Adler, not to be confused with Cody Wigner, another district wildlife manager, was on and we talked about Be Bear Aware, some tips to help keep people safe. And you actually, Cody, go into neighborhoods and actually help work with communities and neighborhoods to help keep people and bears, both of them, safe.
Yeah, so we have what we call a BearAware program. We have volunteers, and it's kind of nice that we have one lead volunteer where an officer can get a hold of that volunteer or volunteer coordinator and give them a list of a couple streets or an area where there have been increased sightings or, you know, people being irresponsible with trash or other attractants. We can actually get those volunteers out in the neighborhoods to go canvass that neighborhood, go door to door, to give out educational information and inform people what they need to do to be more bear aware.
And that's just it. A lot of the stuff, and we're going to talk more about this, what's trying to be done, what's happened in Manitou Springs, and then what might be looking at for the Colorado Springs neighborhoods, is trash is probably one of the biggest problems, isn't it?
Yeah, trash is by far the biggest attractant. followed up with bird feeders is also another one, both traditional bird feeders with the seed and also hummingbird feeders. And then you can get into a long laundry list of barbecue grills, pet food, and open garage doors, as we know from last year, is a big issue as well. People with pet food or trash in open garage doors is pretty bad.
And it did seem like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Cody, but it did seem like there were quite a few increased numbers of human-bear conflicts last year.
Yeah, so last year, you know, it did seem kind of an exceptional year for conflicts, pretty much statewide.
Right.
And that was because we had very widespread food failure. So I don't know.
Yeah, describe what food failure means, because I was not quite familiar with that.
Yeah, so last year, I think it was right around Mother's Day, we actually had that hard freeze. You know, that's really late in the year, and that's very detrimental to the plants, you know, berries, and more importantly, the acorns on the oak brush. That is a very important part of the bear's diet going into fall.
Right.
They kind of progress through different foods throughout the year. And in the fall, that big final push for them to pack on that weight before they go into hibernation for the winter is acorns. And with that late freeze, it just zaps those buds and there's no food for them come fall time. So,
and that's why they push down into the neighborhoods.
Yep, they push down in the neighborhoods or around people because they know, which isn't right, but they know they can find that year-round food source of people's trash.
Well, and we were kind of talking about this, and I think there's a really big misconception, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Cody, but I think, is there a misconception where people think, okay, I see a bear in my neighborhood, I know that bear shouldn't be there, but I'm not going to call anybody to tell anything, when actually you're creating more problems for both you and the bear. Is that right? Did I kind of lay that out?
That is very right. You know, it's kind of a vicious circle, really, because people think that if they call us, you know, all we're going to do is come out and kill that bear, and that's the absolute last thing that we want to do. No one in this agency got this job to kill a bear or any other animal for that matter.
Right.
It's very frustrating because 99% of those problems are human caused. And it's, you know, they can be solved on our level by our actions. So calling us early, you know, so when you first get a sighting of a bear.
Say we first see a bear, call.
First see a bear, call on us. And if it's a trash issue, something like that, then go to that neighbor, talk to them face to face, let them know there is a problem. But by waiting until they become too brave or so used to people to where they're finally get into a house or into a garage, something
like that.
Which we saw last year, and that's a very bad situation. You know, it's all human caused, and it's a human health and safety issue. It's definitely a safety issue because those bears can be unpredictable inside of a house.
Right.
And we don't want them getting used to being around people like that.
And that's when they're used to being around the people, that's when increased danger and concern.
Absolutely. So it's progressive behavior of, you know, hitting a bird feeder to go into a trash can, to go into a trash can inside a garage, to pushing open a unlatched door to get into a house. And that's an immediate death sentence for a bear if it's inside an occupied house.
So it's actually, again, worse for you not to wait to call Colorado Parks and Wildlife at the first sighting.
Yep.
Call right away.
Yes. So if you know there's attractants in the area and you see that a bear's getting in the trash, give us a call. We'll get out there and we'll try to haze it. So some of those techniques we use are rubber bullets.
So it's kind of like cutting off the source, right?
Yeah.
And forcing it out of the area.
Yeah, and just giving it a negative experience around people. So we're using rubber bullets like rubber buckshot or beanbag rounds. And
trying to scare it off.
Even tasers. If we can get close enough to use a taser on it. No creature likes electricity.
Yeah, no, not at all.
No.
So I think that is probably one of the biggest misconceptions, again, about the whole bear-human interaction, isn't it?
Yep, yeah. Call early. Don't wait so long to where it's such a big problem where it is a safety issue for people, and then ultimately it's that bear that pays the price.
Pays the price. Well, and I remember Corey talking about how incredibly smart bears, like, don't ever underestimate how smart a bear is.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, you can relocate them, right?
Yep.
But they map out exactly where they know the food source is. And if you relocate them, they can easily find their way back.
Yeah. So there really is no, you know, silver bullet to cure all these problems or issues. Big thing's going to be securing the attractants, but kind of a last resort. Last thing we want to do is really move those bears.
Right.
But sometimes that's in the best interest for them and the people too, the safety, and also give that bear a second chance.
Yeah.
But we've had bears, even last year, we had a sow with three cubs down by the Spring Meadow Reservoir right off of Lake and 115.
Okay.
We moved them clear down, down by kind of Walsenburg-Levita area.
All the way down
pretty
there.
Pretty far south. All four of them made it back in 10 days, back in the same exact neighborhood.
That's incredible.
So, I mean, how they navigate, that's a little bit unknown. But, yeah, extremely smart, very good long-term memory. So they even know to associate food sources. If they find a food source, whether it's trash or a bird feed or something like that, they can come right back to that food source the next year if there is less food available for them out there. They have very excellent long-term memory.
Well, and one of the things that was done, and we have talked about it on the show, in the news and stuff, is bear resistant. Is that the right way to talk about it? Trash cans, bear resistant trash, is that what they're called?
Yep. So yeah, they changed it because I don't know if there's anything that's bear proof.
Right.
Everything would probably fail at some point. So they do call them bear resistant, and it's the interagency Grizzly Bear Committee, I think it's called, actually certifies these things. So they have some captive grizzly bears up in Wyoming where these companies can ship those containers to them to test.
Here, can you have the grizzly try it?
Yeah.
I mean, aren't they one of the strongest, if not the strongest bear?
Exactly. Yeah. So they put their favorite treats in there, and they have to keep those bears out for a full hour.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible.
Yep.
So, okay, so you were part, it was in the Manitou Springs area, it was a community committee that came together, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then they asked you to come in and help discuss this. And again, it's trying to keep the human bear conflict down.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it was Nancy Wilson in Manitou Springs started the Manitou Springs Bear Smart Committee.
Okay.
Invited me on there, or Colorado Parks and Wildlife on there, as just as a resource, as the natural resource manager, our advice and guidance on that stuff. And after 2 years, of doing their own education and outreach and going in front of council, presenting data and, showing that this stuff works, and actually using a Durango bear study, a bear-resistant trash can study done in Durango, city council passed it 7-0 to require both residential and commercial to either have a bear-resistant container or have somewhere to store that container to keep bears out until the morning of pickup.
Now, how was the reaction to that by, Manitou Springs residents and stuff? At first, I'm sure there was some resistance to it.
Yeah, there was a little bit of pushback. But the big thing is, I think Manitou's very well, or very in tune with their wildlife too. So most people, the last thing they want to see is those bears get hurt. And that's what happens when they get that food source, the trash. So there was a lot of people that already were doing kind of just voluntary compliance, or not voluntary compliance, doing what they should have been doing all along. The good ones, keeping their trash secure. The ones that kind of maybe weren't so happy were the ones that might have to pay more for that trash can because they have nowhere to store a trash can, like a garage or a shed.
Right.
And so they
automatically had to keep their trash outside.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. So if there's nowhere to store it, then they were required to get a trash can somehow, and that's going to be up to the trash haulers how they do it, because those trash cans can run about $270 a piece. So some of them have to buy them outright, or maybe some kind of payment plan where you're paying $3 to $5 more per month, and you don't own that trash can, but you're just paying $3 to $5 more per month for that service. But it's very effective.
Okay, and so we're going to take a break, Cody, and when we come back, could we see something like this in Colorado Springs? So we're going to talk with you about that when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with Cody Wigner, District Wildlife Manager for the Colorado Parks and Wildlife. And Cody has been working with Colorado Parks and Wildlife to help cut down on human and bear conflicts. And we know last year that Manitou Springs went to an ordinance where people had to have a bear-resistant trash can. And you were telling me, Cody, that there is a committee now in Colorado Springs that is working on possibly doing this.
Kind of a citizen-driven committee coming together and pulling a lot of resources in. This one's a little bit bigger just because it's a bigger town, too. Make sure we're getting all stakeholders involved. and actually have kind of subcommittees in there as far as looking into education and stuff like that, and also kind of a draft ordinance committee. And we actually have a draft ordinance already written,
okay,
to kind of go off of. And we were able to pull resources or pull from ordinances in other parts of the state and other parts of the country to help draft that too.
Now, this the ordinance that you're talking about would, of course, have to have government approval. So it would have to be the Colorado Springs City Council, right? And would it also have to be like El Paso County Commissioners?
Yeah, so it's definitely going to have to be City Council. It's going to have to go in front of City Council, and they'll have to do their own public process as well before any of that gets approved and get public input that way. The committee is really just kind of getting ahead of that and getting people aware that this is an issue. And it's a big one, too, and that there is work being done towards it.
Now, I think you were telling me, Cody, that last year was a record. I don't know if it's a record number, but a very large number of bears having to be euthanized because of what was being done. And I don't want to say irresponsibility, but yeah, I mean, people not knowing, people not understanding what they're doing is causing this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think statewide, there was over 160 bears that we as an agency had to euthanize.
Oh, my gosh.
For some reason. And then here locally, kind of in Teller County and El Paso County, that number was over 30 just here locally. And that's not including the ones that are killed by landowners protecting livestock.
Right.
Or, you know, bears getting hit by cars on the roads and highways. You know, that's just ones that we had to put down. But that number is way too many. And I never refer to it as a bear problem because it's a bear being a bear. It's a people problem. That's what it really comes down to. Bears are smart, but humans are much smarter, and the impact we can have, we just need to take up our responsibility and fulfill our role in that.
So the committee that has been put together to talk about helping, again, humans and bears live in coexistence and hopefully being a little bit smarter about it, are there committee meetings that people can go and get involved, or, I mean, is it just an ongoing process?
Yeah, so it's an ongoing process now. We're meeting about probably every 3 weeks or so. And I think the big part for the public to get involved is going to be in that public process through City Council, so going through the kind of the City Hall type meetings,
right,
things like that. But also, feel free to get a hold of us at Colorado Parks and Wildlife for information, or go to our website.
Okay.
Lots of brochures you can print, and I think community can do their part by going to their neighbors and educating each other.
Right.
It's a lot better coming from a neighbor than it is coming from an agency telling you to do something. So just that community, sense of community and community feel is what's really going to help push this through.
Well, and isn't there the whole Be Bear Aware on the Parks and Wildlife website, like a whole section?
Yeah,
like,
there's a whole section.
Okay.
So it's under, you know, if you go to the Learn tab and then under Living with Wildlife, it covers bears, mountain lions, I mean, pretty much any species you can think of living with wildlife to protect yourself and really to protect them.
Right. And it takes everybody, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a team effort. You know, it is everybody doing their part. Those wildlife were here first, and they need to stay wild, and we need to do our part to keep them wild.
And as far as the ordinance goes, still quite a bit a time away from getting it to City Council.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of going to be on their timeline.
Yeah.
You know, we've had conversations with a few council members, so it is a little bit on their radar as well.
Okay.
But that's going to be their process. Manitou is 2 years, so, you know, we're pushing for as quick as we can, but as long as we get there, that's what counts.
And again, more information on the Colorado Parks and Wildlife website. And Cody, it's knowing, isn't it?
Yep.
It is knowing what you're doing and how you're affecting everybody around you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was telling you during the break, one of my neighbors likes putting out bird seed on the sidewalk. And I'm like, what are you doing? Please don't do that.
Horrible.
Horrible idea. And you know, I live right next to the foothills.
Yep.
So I'm like, please don't do that.
Yeah, that's going to be attracting bears, deer, and anything else. And yeah, feeding any big game. So bear and deer here in town is illegal.
I see. And people may not know that.
Correct.
Don't feed them.
Yep.
Don't feed them dog food. Just don't feed them. Cody, you're incredible. Thanks so much for the update. And we'll have to keep us posted as this moves forward. And like you said, City Council, when it gets to City Council.
We will do that.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And coming up tomorrow on The Extra, it is Business Week in Review. That's tomorrow on KRDO News Radio.